The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Please stand for the reading. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, good morning. And I want to thank Pastor Mike for allowing me to speak this morning. Now, you know, the children's story was just perfect. You know, could all go home now. You know, I don't know why I need to preach on the same passage again. You know, the loaves and the fishes, or the feeding of the 5,000, as you know it's known, is one of the most well-known gospel stories. And so, you know, you probably hear it every year or so. What more is there to say about it? You know, is there anything more that can be said? So I began to read it once more, and the more I read, the more uncomfortable and more disturbed I became with what Matthew seemed to be saying in regards to this story. No, it on the surface it seems like a simple miracle story. You know, there's not enough food, people are hungry, Jesus multiplies the food, all eat and are satisfied. But it's far more than that. It's not just a simple miracle story. It's not simply about God will provide. Because in the middle of it, there's this dialogue that Jesus has with his disciples. And so I think this story, what it is it's about the disciples and what it means to be a disciple. And it's about the nature of compassion. What is genuine compassion? Now, this story is in all the 4 Gospels, and each give different details. For example, as you might have heard in the children's story, there was a little boy who happened to have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's a detail that's found in the Gospel of John. Matthew doesn't include it. So what we're going to do, what I'm going to do this morning, is to focus on what Matthew's text has to say to us. So the story begins. Now when Jesus heard this meaning the beheading or the execution of John the Baptist by Herod, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. So Jesus hears that his cousin John has been beheaded. Things are getting a little heated in the towns and the cities. So Jesus seeks to go away from the population centers. So it's going to be safer for Jesus if he's out away from the crowds. Not only that, but he probably wants a little time to himself to mourn
the death of his relative. And to really reevaluate his mission, because he knows that if he continues on the path that he is going, his fate is probably going to be the exact same as that of John. That he too will face death. That he too will be executed. So he goes back into the wilderness. It's a time of trial. Just as it was when Jesus opened his ministry, he went into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tried. Now he had to make a decision. Is this what I really want to do? Is this what I really need to do? So he wants to be alone. He wants some alone time. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. Jesus doesn't get his alone time. No, all he had was the time in the boat with some of his disciples. When he comes to where he thought he could be alone by himself, there's a great crowd that's waiting for him already. His next action is motivated by compassion. And according to Matthew, he spends all day meeting the needs of the crowd. And specifically, he heals. He cures. Now, the other Gospels say he also preached. But for Matthew, his focus is on meeting the needs, the immediate needs, the physical needs of the people. Noon comes. The sun starts to fall. It's getting late. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Now, first of all, when there's 5,000 men plus all the women and children, scholars think there's probably at least 10,000 people. That's a lot of people. So think about it. Petersburg is 3,000, maybe. Three times that. Now, where are you going to fit 10,000 people? Now, it's an arena. Now, it's a stadium, basically. And disciples are calling this a deserted place. Now, it's far from deserted. Now, it is deserted in that there are no stores. Now, the people can't go to a snack stand to buy food. It's late afternoon, probably. Now, we have street lights, we have flashlights, we have light, artificial lighting. And so we can travel when it's dark, but for the crowds, for the people of that time, when there is no light, it is very, very dark. So what the disciples are suggesting is pragmatic. It's very practical. No, it's getting late. We don't have much time left before it's going to be completely dark. There's a huge number of people here. Send them away. Now, let them travel to the nearest towns so that they can find food. They can go to their homes. They can find something to eat. Now, notice that it's the disciples that suggest this. It's not Jesus that suggests it. It's not the crowds that want to go home. Now, the crowds probably are perfectly fine camping for the night there. But the disciples suggest that the crowds go home. I suspect that, with these 10,000 people that Jesus is dealing with, the disciples are on crowd duty. Now, when we talk about disciples, we often think of just the 12, but there were many more besides. So, maybe we're talking 100 followers, close followers of Jesus, who are managing the crowds, preventing the crowd from crushing Jesus. They're tired. They're tired of crowd duty. They're suffering from compassion fatigue. It started great. But by the end of the day, you know, they're tired of just keeping people away. And so they're suggesting to Jesus in a implied sort of way, you know, we're really tired of doing this. Jesus, can you just send them away? And so they use the need for food, I think, as a pretext to try to encourage Jesus to send the crowd away, you know, to pass, to let the towns around deal with the need that is there. Another thing is that, you know, they thought, they were expecting as they travel with Jesus to be able to spend time with Jesus themselves. And who is Jesus spending time with? Not them, but the rest of the crowd. Aren't they the ones that were chosen? Aren't they the ones that have a special relationship with Jesus? They want that time with Jesus. They want Jesus for themselves. Well, they're kind of being a little possessive of Jesus. Send them away. Let someone else deal with them now. Jesus' response to the disciples is, they don't need to go away. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. What this tells me is that Jesus' compassion is infinite. He's tired. He's suffering emotionally from the death of his cousin. He's probably physically tired. Yet, there is something about his compassion that invigorates him. It also tells us that Jesus' compassion is available equally to all. Whether they are close, professed followers of Jesus that have been with him from the very beginning, or maybe this is the very first time that a person has come to see Jesus, his compassion is available to all equally. There are no favorites. There are no privileged or inside groups when it comes to Jesus' compassion, when it comes to Jesus meeting people's needs. Not only does his compassion extend to the people around, but no, it extends to towns. But just think about it. If 10,000 people suddenly flooded our town, say a cruise ship broke down, they need food. They need lodging. Where are we going to put 10,000 people? See, Jesus doesn't want to pass off the needs that he can meet to someone else. And he's saying somehow that the disciples are going to be able to meet it. The disciples identify the need. And so Jesus says, okay, great. Let's see you meet it. And the disciples reply, well, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, according to John, as I mentioned earlier, you know, they go searching for food. Just thinking about it, though, among 10,000, there must be some food. It may be that it was just this boy that was willing to give away this food. But whatever the case, in Matthew's account, the way he puts it down, it is the disciples who scrounge up from their meager belongings 5 loaves and 2 dried or pickled fish. It's not much to feed even 12. They're out of food. And so, what it highlights is that for them, it is impossible in their own strength and through their own resources to meet the needs that they have identified. Jesus' response to the disciples saying, no, we don't really have anything. We can't follow your command. Jesus' response is, bring them here to me. Jesus simply says, bring them here. Give me what you do have. And then he orders the crowds to sit on the grass. And this whole scene is an echo, I think, of Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, where it is said that the shepherd leads his sheep, makes them to lie down in green pastures, and then feeds them, not in a peaceful setting necessarily, but among enemies. The banquet table is set. And they are fed, and they are given sustenance among oppression, among hostility. And for the crowd, well, that, I think, was the reality. They didn't have an easy life necessarily for many of them. They were under foreign oppression. Yet what Jesus is demonstrating is that where he is, it is not necessarily a deserted place. Where he is, amidst oppression and hostility, they can still find sustenance. And so, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Jesus thanks God. And then he gives the loaves and the fish to the disciples. And then the disciples give the food to the crowd. The disciples are required to participate in this kingdom event. So the question that came into my mind as I read this is, well, why didn't Jesus heal everyone, you know, kind of say a blanket prayer of healing, and heal everyone at the beginning? You know, he could have avoided this whole one by one healing someone. You know, instead of a whole day, could have been mere minutes. And why didn't Jesus rain down food in Exodus? The manna coming from heaven. It's more efficient. Less time. You know how long it takes to feed 10,000 people? Now, I've been to conferences where there were maybe 1,000 people, and it still takes a rather long time. I think it's because the kingdom, you know, this is demonstrating the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven isn't about just having all our needs met. The kingdom of heaven isn't simply about freedom from troubles. The kingdom of heaven is about relationships and interactions that happen between peoples. It's about the personal touch. It's about getting to know one another. And so Jesus, in his way, own way, is demonstrating what that kingdom is going to be. It's not going to be about God saying, you know, here's everything you need. Go at it. But rather, it's about interactions. It's about each one of us caring for one another. No, I don't think in the kingdom of heaven we're going to have everything that we need all by ourselves. Because that's not heaven. It's that as we participate, as we share, all the needs are going to be met. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, we don't know precisely how the food was multiplied. However it happened, the point is that when resources are given over to God's use, and all participate, there is more than enough to meet the needs that exist. All ate. Whether they came from far or near, whatever their economic status, maybe they had food stashed somewhere. Maybe they didn't want to share. It didn't matter. Their social standing didn't matter. None of that mattered. God provided. And it wasn't for the disciples to judge the merits of these needs. It wasn't for the disciples to judge whether a person needs compassion or not. When Jesus says, you give them something to eat. The disciples are merely responsible to pass the blessings on. You give them something to eat. Now that's the phrase that really caught my attention this week, because it's not an easy thing to understand. You know, on the surface, isn't Jesus being rather insensitive to the disciples' needs? The disciples are tired. They want the crowds to go away. Yet Jesus says there's more to be done. Jesus is basically saying, give and continue giving. Serve and continue serving. Well, the disciples got tired of giving and serving. And to be honest, I get tired of giving and serving, as I'm sure most of us here are. You know, we give and give and give, and at some point we say that, no, I've given enough. I don't have any more to give. You experience compassion fatigue. The needs of the world are so great. The needs of this community are so great. How much are we supposed to give before it's enough? And if I read Jesus' response correctly, that's the wrong question. We never stop giving. We never stop serving. We never stop caring. In fact, when I read this story, Jesus seems to be invigorated by giving and serving, no matter how tired he is. I think part of it is that our compassion and our service, our giving, is often through mixed motives. Sometimes it's done out of duty. We do this because it's something we're supposed to do. We do this because it's something we have to do. Or sometimes it's mixed with self-interest or some personal agendas. You know, I'll look better if, you know, to be seen doing something. Or I want to get something out of serving. Jesus' motivation is completely pure. There's no self-interest. It's simply who He is. Compassion is who He is. I think that when compassion competes with conflicting desires, that's when fatigue results. When there is no competition between compassion and what you are doing, your motivations, there's no fatigue, and in fact, it might be even invigorating. So I think of times when I've been doing something that I absolutely love. It could go for hours. You never feel tired. In fact, you don't want to stop to even eat. You know, you just want to keep doing it. You feel invigorated by it. And I think that's the difference between disciples and us and Jesus. This is a teaching story for the disciples. The disciples think compassion has a limit. Jesus says, no, compassion doesn't have a limit. And what he is saying, I think he is trying to teach his disciples and us, is that we need to practice compassion. Yes, we are going to get tired. But as we walk with Jesus, as His disciples, we can learn through His power, through His Spirit, that we can go from doing compassion to being compassion. And so that is what I think the story is trying to teach me this week. And I think that's the message that I hope you will take to heart, to consider, and to think about what it means to learn to be compassion. Not just the compassionate person, but to be compassion itself. Just as Jesus was, and Jesus demonstrated that we too can be. You know, the disciples, as they passed the resurrection, as they went out and ministered as apostles, as I read their stories, as I read about Paul and about Peter, they seem to learn that. But Paul in particular, he never seemed to get tired of serving. Now, he may have been beaten, he may have been physically tired, but he never was tired. He never became tired of serving. And what that tells me is that we too, if we are willing, we too can be compassionate, compassion in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story that's been given to us to remind us that we're not simply here to do good works out of duty, because that's what Christians are called to do, because that's what being a disciple means, but to do it because that is what we want to do from our whole being. Give us opportunities to practice and to learn so that we may grow in grace, so that we may be compassion in the world today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.